Good morning, everyone. Just before I start, I just wanted to make an announcement that was not turned in. So no reflection on the announcements or prayer. You will see in your bulletin that we will begin again Kids Club at the end of this month. That's September the 30th. It's an exciting time for the whole assembly, and particularly those families with little kids. We do want to hide the Word of God into the hearts of all of us, and particularly we want to train and teach the young people the Word of God, because that's what's going to keep them. All right, in connection with that, I just wanted to remind everybody that Brother Stancy will be taking a leading role in the Kids Club as it pertains to operations on that day. I won't be as visible because I will be helping with transportation this year, but so I want you to give him all the support that you can, and participate in those roles. And in connection with that, we will have a meeting on September the 22nd, so you can plan on that. Some that are here, maybe for the first time for Kids Club, may not be certain as to what your role might be. We will discuss that on the 23rd. We have also sent out an email inviting those of you that are interested, that have not participated in the past, that are interested to report that you are interested, and we will put you in a place. I'm not off the hook, no, definitely. Definitely. I'm not trying to get off the hook. I just want to let you know that there's a specific reason why we're doing this, because we want to try to be as effective as we can. And so we want to exercise our brother in that capacity, and I will be exercising in other capacities, and we will all be doing this to the glory of God. It's not?
Yes.
Oh boy. Okay. Thank you for telling me that, because it sounds good to me. All right. Okay. Let me give it a little bit more effort. I've been struggling with this for years. I do recall my mother always telling me, you're not speaking loud enough. So, and then now my wife is telling me that all the time, and Brother George certainly does. So thank you. Yeah, I heard the volume come up a little bit, so thank you. Okay, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed God and our Heavenly Father, we just thank you for loving us, and thank you for giving to us the precious gift of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that your love has moved you to give your only begotten Son, that he might reconcile us back to you. And now, Father, as we look into your word together, we do pray that you would open our hearts and our eyes of understanding, that we might understand your word, that we might be convicted by your word, and that we might respond to your word and do your will. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Let's turn to the book of 2 Corinthians. I want to take a look at this chapter, and I will read it in its entirety. Will be our text, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I will be reading today from the Holman Christian Standard version, at the Bible. But you can follow along in whichever translation that you have. And I've entitled this message, "It's All About God and His Purposes." It's all about God and His purposes. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. "For we know that if our temporary earthly dwelling is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal building in the heavens, not made with hands. Indeed, we groan in this body, desiring to be put, indeed we groan while we are in this tent, burdened as we are, because we do not want to be unclothed, but clothed, so that mortality may be swallowed up by life. And the one who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a down payment. So we are always confident and know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And we are confident, satisfied to be out of the body and at home with the Lord." Verse 9. Let's pay close attention to verse 9 and 10. "Therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the tribunal of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or worthless." I'll read that again. "Therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to Him. For we must all appear before the tribunal of Christ, so that each may be repaid for what he has done in the body, whether good or worthless." Verse 11. "Therefore, therefore, because we know the fear of the Lord, we seek to persuade people. We are completely open before God and I hope we are completely open to your conscience as well. We are not commending ourselves to you again, but giving you an opportunity to be proud of us so that we may have a reply for those who take pride in the outward appearance rather than in the heart. For if we are out of our minds, it is for God. If we have a sound mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us. Since we have reached this conclusion, if one died for all, then all died. And he died for all so that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for the one who died for them and was raised. From now on, then we know anyone is purely, we do not know anyone in a purely human way, even if we have known Christ in a purely human way, yet now we no longer know him in this way. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. old things are passed away, and look, new things have come. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And verse 19. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. I wanted to read again verse 18 and 19. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. And he committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not sin, no sin, to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So we have, in this passage, the Apostle Paul is explaining what we are to be about, what God is doing, and how we fit in. So we see that we are to be part of God's plan and purpose. God's plan and purpose is to reconcile the world to himself. When Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and there was a gap, a chasm that was created between God and man. And this was not God's purpose and design for us. We were made to have fellowship with him. And sin separated us. And ever since that time, God has been he has been in the business of reconciling the whole world to himself. So the first thing I'd like for us to look at is our aim is to please God. The aim is to please God. And that's in verse 9 and 10. Therefore, whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to be pleasing to him. Why is it that after we are saved and God has saved us, why does he not take us out of here? Why does he not remove us from the scene? Because he has a job for us to do. As Christians, as we, those that have been reconciled, we are to be about the business of pleasing him. And why should we please him? We will all give an account. Each and every one of us is going one day to give an account for the things done in the body. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account for the things in the body. When we consider that we owe him everything, even our very life and existence, we should have no other ambition than to please him. James 1:17 tells us, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In the first and foremost gift that he's given us, we read about in John 3:16 and many other scriptures, but John 3:16 kind of wraps it up and summarizes the gift that God has for the whole world, all of mankind. Because God was not pleased to destroy and punish the world. He was not pleased just to send us to hell. But he has designed and planned from before the beginning of the world a way that we can be reconciled to him. Now we being Christians that are saved, that have accepted his plan and have been restored in our fellowship with him, we should be seeking to please him in every way. So our aim is to please God. Secondly, I want to look at our assignment. Our assignment, as we have already read, is the ministry, is to continue on, is to participate in and perpetuate the ministry of reconciliation. Our ministry and our assignment is not to go about worldly pursuits, to make a living, to get as much money as we can, to be comfortable, and on the side, we remember the Lord. I've entitled this message, "It's All About God and His Purposes." My goal and my aim in this message is to have us to have a mindset shift, a shift in our mindset, to center ourselves, the way we look at life and each decision that we make, each step that we make. Is it in line with God, with his purposes in the world, and where we fit in? Because it's so easy, and I know this from experience, we all know this from experience, it's so easy to be centered upon ourselves and what we want. And we see God. Yes, God is there. God is important. Yes, we know that. Okay. But he's not the center. What he's doing in the world, he's not the center of our mind and our being, our actions. Everything should be centered around God, if our goal is to please him. He's made it clear exactly what the task, what the assignment is. And I'd like to prompt us in thinking about this. Verse 18 of our passage says, everything is from God. Everything. All that you have, your family, your nice family, your job, all the assets that he's given you. He's given it for a purpose. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And what is the ministry of reconciliation? It says, that is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed this message to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. That's your main job. That's your main job. You're ambassadors for Christ. So, think about yourself. How much of your waking hours, your thoughts, your actions, your life, is used up in this pursuit? Am I an ambassador for Christ? Am I about the business of reconciling the world? There are people living next door to you that don't even know that you know Christ. And when I say that, I'm not talking to anybody in particular. I'm just giving us some thoughts because of our minds. We need to be thinking this way. There's a lot that's wrong that we need to fix, we need to change. We need to shift our whole mindset. The people that you work with, are you praying about how to approach different ones? Are you approaching different ones? Maybe can they even see a difference in your life? Have you sought out other Christians that have also this ministry of reconciliation in your workplace? Are you strategizing together? Are you praying together? This is what I want us to think about. This is our main business. Oh, yes, we come to church. We worship God. And we grow. And we're challenged by passages. There are people around us. People around us is going to hell. If there's people maybe in the next cubicle next to you. Don't get me wrong. God will see that they are presented with the gospel. He will judge them according to the light that's given to them. We know that. But what about that verse 10 that we read? We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to have to answer for that. You will have to answer for that. And as I grow older now, I'm probably closer to the end of my life than I am the beginning. Still by turn, so I might still be considered fairly young, but admittedly, probably closer to the end, at least. I mean, I know as you go older, you begin to know people that are in eternity right now. Their opportunity to make a decision has passed. And they did not make the right decision. And that's between them and God. God will take care of that. But my question is, between you and God, did you do your job? Because that's what God's going to ask you about. Okay, so we talked about our aim is to please him. Our assignment is the ministry of reconciliation. The arena is in the spirit world. We have to be aware of this. It affects so much. The arena is in the spirit world. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 6. To a very familiar passage. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, brethren, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the whole armor of God so that you can stand against the tactics of the devil. For our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the world powers of this darkness, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavens. This is why you must take up the whole armor of God, so that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having prepared everything to take your stand. Stand therefore with truth like a belt around your waist. Righteousness like armor on your chest, and your feet sandaled with readiness for the gospel of peace. In every situation, take the shield of faith, and with it, you will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray at all times in the Spirit, with every prayer and request, and stay alert in this with all perseverance and intercession for all saints. Pray also for me, that the message may be given unto me when I open my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel. For this I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I might be bold enough in him to speak as I should. So I want us to, as we look at our tasks before us, recognize that the war is between God and Satan. However, they are not equal foes. It's not a toss-up. We already know who wins. The book of Revelation shows us the final outcome. Satan's doom is sure. Revelation 20:10 says, the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So we already know the outcome of the battle. What's uncertain is your role in the battle. And that's up to you. That's up to me. That's up to you. God's not dependent on us to win against Satan. However, he gives us the opportunity. Yes, he even invites us to play a role in as he unfolds his master plan. Remember the words of Mordecai to Esther. in Esther 4 and 14. If you keep silent at this time, liberation and deliverance will come to the Jews. He knew his Bible, he knew his God, and he knew that deliverance would come to the Jewish people from another place. But you and your father's house will be destroyed. Who knows? Perhaps you will come into this royal position for such a time as this. God has placed you where you are for this time. He's placed me where I am for this time. And we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We have to shift our paradigm. That's got to be the central thing, because that's all that's going to be important in that last day. When we get there before the judgment seat of Christ, we're going to have rubble that will turn to ashes, or will we have gold? It's all about God and his purposes. It's all about God and his purposes. David, as a young shepherd boy, showed us how we should respond to this opportunity. So here we have the Philistine. He's taunting the people of Israel. And they're afraid. But David knew his God, and he knew his purposes, and he knew that he was the victor. And David couldn't wait to go out there, because he knew that God would be with him. And David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a dagger and spear and sword, but I come against you in the name of Yahweh of hosts, the God of Israel's army, that you have defied. Today, the Lord will hand you over to me. Today, I will strike you down and cut off your head and give the corpse of the Philistine camp to the birds of the sky and the creatures of the earth. Then all the world will know that Israel has a God, and the whole assembly will know that it is not by sword nor by spear that the Lord says, for the battle is the Lord's. He will hand you over to us." The battle we fight is God's battle. The battle we fight, we know the end. We know who's victorious. The question is, are you going to play the role that he invites you to play? Your rewards will be dependent upon that. When we remember our common enemy is the devil, it is easier for us to do a number of things. It's easy for us to forgive one another's trespasses and encourage one another. You have a fellow soldier on the same side of the battle. Your goal is to participate. His goal is to participate. We are humans, and we sometimes give in to sin. Maybe we cross a brother, a sister. So why are we focused on that? You're in God's army. Both of you in God's army. What are you focused on? This is spiritual warfare. Could it not be that you're allowing Satan to get your eyes off what the real fight is? Let's pick it up. Pick up our sword and play our role. This is your brother. This is your sister. It's all about God. It's not about you. It's not even about your brother or sister. It's about God and his purposes. When we have our eyes on Christ, all eyes on Christ, then we become in harmony. And we work together. The devil is a defeated foe. But he will do all that he can to cause us to miss out on our blessings and reward. He can't win. But he can affect your rewards if you let him. And when we see a brother or sister as a fellow soldier in the same side of the battle, it is then that we're able, as Ephesians says, to let bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from us, with all malice, to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. So as I wrap this up, I'd like to just, by way of application, just remind us of a few things. Our aim is to please him. In order to please him, we need to know what he's doing. What is he doing? The ministry of reconciliation. That's been his business for thousands of years now. And you have an opportunity, and I have an opportunity, to participate in that ministry of reconciliation. That should be the center of what we're doing. Because if we just live our life and do what we see that's in our heart, or whatever we see other people doing, some of them don't even have the ministry of reconciliation. Then when we come to that day, it's going to be burned up. Like straw up in flames. I trust that God shows us in our hearts the opportunity as the Holy Spirit was given to us. He will speak to you. He will say, yeah, talk to him. He will say, do something, make a plan. Might be, I don't know, but there's different ways that the Holy Spirit will involve you in this ministry of reconciliation. And I trust that we will have our hearts tender and open to him. I trust that as we come together and make plans and see how we are as an assembly can work together in this ministry of reconciliation, that we remove ourselves from the focus and see Christ as God's gift to the world, and see God working in the world to reconcile us to him, that he won't not have to hold our trespasses against us. Let us pray. Our blessed God and our Father, we do thank you for your word. that you've given us, that we might read it, that we might study it, that we might meditate upon it. Cause that as we see things from your word, as your Holy Spirit opens up our minds, our understanding, that we may be humbled and respond to your word and be obedient to your word, that your will might be done in our lives and you might be pleased. We do pray in the precious and holy name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.